I acknowledge that the city of Hamilton, where I record this podcast, is situated upon the traditional First Nations territories of the Erie, Huron-Wendat, Haudenosaunee, Mississaugas, and the Chonodon of the so-called Neutral Tribes. Hamilton is also directly adjacent to the Haldimand Treaty Territory. Hamilton is home to many Indigenous peoples from across Turtle Island, and this land acknowledgement is a small gesture to recognize the rich history of this land, and so that I can better understand my role as a settler, as well as a neighbor, partner, and caretaker. Miigwech. Thank you. Welcome to the arena, where sometimes the hardest part is showing up. My name is Linda McLaughlin. Thank you for being here. How do we hold ourselves hostage to our thoughts? How do we already hold the keys to our own extraordinary life? My guest, J. Paul Nadeau, is living that extraordinary life after a very rough beginning. He believes we all have choices to make about the events in our lives and how they impact us. Thank you for listening. This is episode 49. Thank you very much for doing this, Paul. I appreciate it. I had some challenges with the book and the delivery, but when I finally got my hands on it, I couldn't put it down and was really drawn into the story. And I love the way that you mixed your own stories with events that you experienced personally and professionally, and then wove into that lessons and the message of not being a hostage to your own mind, hostage to your circumstances. And I thought that was a really powerful message. I just love the way you presented the message for the reader in a way that I think was extremely applicable. The message is so important. I think people have really been seeking positive messages. How can I change my life? How can I overcome what I've been through? I think there are quite a number of people who are seeking that opportunity to make significant changes in their life and not to go back to the good old days, the bad old days, whatever, depending on your perspective on it.
The idea of being a hostage to ourselves came to me, of course, from my experience as a hostage negotiator. When I took a look at the fact that hostages have no say in the outcome, they only are obedient to the hostage taker. And this is our survival. This is our need to survive, is that I will obey because I want to live. What we do to ourselves is we often give in to the negative narratives, those things that have been drilled into us from perhaps our caregivers, our parents, people who have lied to us, bullies, whatever. And this negative pattern takes a hold of us until we challenge it. But the wonderful thing about the fact that we take ourselves hostages is that we can unhostage ourselves by changing that narrative. Our primitive brain wants to keep us protected, wants to keep us from getting hurt, and so we consequently give up without taking risks or challenging those narratives. But in order to live the life that we deserve to live, we need to challenge those narratives, and we need to do that daily. We need to set a tone for the way that our day is going to unfold. We need to be proactive and to remind ourselves that most of the thoughts that go through our heads need to be policed, and we need to challenge them, especially if they're drawing from a negative prehistoric narrative, or when I say prehistoric, in our own lives. And the moment you start to do that, you build a new muscle of confidence, and you build a new muscle where you go from your standard is that I'm just a good person to know, you know what? I'm not only a good person, I'm going to step it up. I'm going to be an extraordinary person, and I'm going to work at being an outstanding person. And this is how I'm going to look at my life, is that I'm going to challenge those negative beliefs, and I'm going to recognize that nobody deserves to be more loved, more successful than me. I am as special, as important as everyone else. So why am I putting myself down? Nobody's coming to rescue me. Nobody's got all the answers. They've got lifelines, but it's up to me to make the radical changes in my life in order to get to where I want to be. And that's to live a life of true happiness and true value. And so it is all within our power. It is mindset. It is reminding. And when I say we have the mind, but we can remind it. So if the mind right now is cluttered with self-loathing, self-doubt, disappointment, discouragement, then we can remind it. We can take those things out and we can replace them with the fact that we are amazing human beings and that we are so limitless in so many things that we undertake. Is that the only person keeping us hostage from doing that is the negative self that we allow in our lives. And if you are the landlord of your own thoughts, then you can allow certain tenants in. And if I was the landlord of a beautiful condo, I would not want to let some scruffy person who's not going to be paying the bills and stuff like that, going to be having noisy parties. Not only are they going to be noisy, they're going to bring in their friends into the apartment. I don't want that. I'm going to kick those things out because I get to, and I can.
Nice. Let me offer an introduction for the listeners. J. Paul Nadeau, you're a brother and father. You're the son of a violently abusive alcoholic father. At 7 years old, you decided you wanted to be a police officer so you could arrest your own father. Life in school was not much better, as you were conditioned to believe you were worthless and incapable of amounting to much. At 16, your father killed himself with the same rifle that he claimed to have killed Santa Claus when you were 8. This treatment could have set you up on a pretty grim path. But instead, at 21, you chose your own destiny and became a police officer and then sergeant in the Durham region outside of Toronto. You continued to set the bar higher by becoming an expert hostage negotiator, criminal detective, expert interrogator, international peacekeeper, and instructor. There were plenty of pivotal cases, personal setbacks, and shocking events in your 30-year career in policing. You're now an international keynote speaker, actor, coach, and best-selling author of Take Control of Your Life, which distills the valuable lessons you've lived and learned through your personal and professional experiences. Welcome to the arena, Paul.
Oh, thank you so much for that wonderful introduction, Linda. Wow, you have done your research, and I can tell that you have read the book.
Sounds like such a straight up one direction career path, and it just seems very linear. And in fact, there were plenty of twists and turns along the way, including retiring after 30 years of being in the police force, and you were about to go off and do some work in Haiti, and then suddenly got divorced, and that sent you in a completely different direction. And I personally see these major changes as being opportunities. And through reading your book, certainly, I think you see them that way as well. But they can be setbacks. And they certainly knock you off course for a period of time. But just to say that you have this illustrious career, but it's taken a hell of a lot to get to where you are. And there's more to be written, I'm sure. So I just wanted to say that, because sometimes these bios seem a bit like, oh, gee, it's nice to be so special. Yeah. You've really had to fight your way to where you are, and I just wanted to acknowledge that as well.
I really appreciate that you did that. You're absolutely right. You know, life is not all rainbows and sunshine. It can be a cold, hard, miserable place. And yeah, it hasn't always been easy for me. As you alluded to earlier on in the introduction, is that my life was not easy as a child, and I did not have that confidence. I did not believe in myself. And had I remained on that path of not believing in myself and listening to the lies of others who put me down and who said that you will never amount to anything, if we give in to those self-sabotaging lies and thoughts of others, and we condition ourselves to believe that it's true, then we'll remain exactly where we are. I had to rise myself above that, did have to do that. And I went for what I wanted to do, and I put my heart and soul into the things that I wanted to do. So the divorce came right after I had retired from the police department, and my goal at the time was, okay, I've retired from the police department. They're going to pay me a pension to stay away, which is really good. So financially, I'm pretty secure. And my wife at the time had a job as well. And so we kind of counted our dollars to say, we can live comfortably. But what I did not know is that she was having an affair and was unhappy with the marriage. And a few months after I had retired, she came to me and she said, I would like to divorce. I didn't see it coming, Linda. I didn't. And it was one of those, you know, hey, your life is going real well. That knocked me off my horse. It was like, now what do I do? But because of my life's philosophies and the things that I have developed within myself over the years, that set me back, but only temporarily, because I knew the tools I needed to use to get me back into the right mindset of getting back on that horse and moving forward. And these are so important to discover, that whatever happens to you does not define you. You define what happens to you. Viktor Frankl, the author of a wonderful book, Man's Search for Meaning, says that it's not so much what happens to you that matters. It's how you respond to what happens to you. So I chose to respond differently than a lot of people would have. A lot of people remain in that sadness, that why me? Now what do? I can't possibly get through this. I need to find somebody real quick. Whatever thoughts go into their mind, it will keep them sabotaged to their circumstances. I believe that we hold the key to where we want to go in our mind, and we can unlock the door and say, okay, you know what? That happened to me. And I acknowledge that happened to me. Let me feel it, but it also happened for me. What from this can I get from this experience that will make me a better person, or that will get me to where I want to be or where I need to be? When I look back at certain events in my life, for example, the abuse that I suffered at the hands of my father, I look back and I say, thank you, Dad, for that gift. And a lot of people are saying, what are you talking about? Thank you for that gift. How could that abuse be a gift? Well, number one, I've forgiven my father. You know, he had his own demons that he had to deal with. And regrettably, way back when, there was nobody out there to help him deal with those demons. So he took out his violence and his rage out on me, my brother, and my mother. But what he did for me is that he challenged me as that little boy to say, one day, I am going to grow up and I'm going to arrest you and people like you. And I did. I ended up not being able to arrest him, but I ended up becoming that police officer and then going on to save so many lives and to help so many people through their traumas. So I went from being this wounded child, you know, like who had open sores, to healing. And I went on to heal others from that experience. So when I look back at that, it not only happened to me, it happened for me. Because I became the man that I am as a result of that gift that he gave me. And I look at that, and sometimes we have to look at our own experiences and say, why did that happen? No. How did that happen for me? And so let's go back to the divorce. And I allude to that as like, how could a divorce be a good thing? Well, when I look back at it, we were two people who were not happy in a relationship. And leaving that came as a shock. But leaving that and going on to meeting new people and creating new experiences has really enhanced my quality of life. She's happier. I'm happier. I'm growing. I'm with someone amazing and beautiful now. I've gone on, had I still been married, I might have gone into the acting career and wanted to get into it. And that may have been really good. I don't know how that would have worked out. But I'm still into acting. What's more is that I went on to write 4 books. I went on to write a film script that is being examined by Netflix and others. I've gone on to become a motivational speaker. I took those things that happened to me and I made them happen for me by the choices and by the action that I put into it.
What event in your life has had the most profound impact on you?
I would think it was when I was about to be killed by terrorists in the Middle East. I was on a peacekeeping mission in 2005 during the Iraq War. As a Canadian, I did not go to the front lines and fight. I was deployed to Jordan in the biggest police academy in the world, the Jordanian International Police Training Center. My job originally when I arrived there was to train Iraqi cadets to become police officers so that they could go back into their country and defend their country as police officers. What we were told was that because Iraq was in such desperate need of police officers, they needed 3,000 every 8 weeks, and they were just shoving them in and shoving them out. They couldn't vet these young men or these older men fast enough. So we were getting Sunnis, Shiites, and terrorists in the academy, and a number of terrorists. They showed up in their police uniforms, and some of them had scowls in their faces, but we couldn't identify them immediately. Some of them we could. They were, you know, they were arrested and sent back to their country. Some of them did not. And little did I know that a number of them were plotting to kill international instructors like myself. And I ended up moving from the training branch to the advocacy and counseling division about 3 or 4 months after I joined. And a young cadet came to me and he sat in my office and he respected me. He liked me. And he said, "Mr. Paul, there's going to be an attack on the academy and internationals are going to be killed." And I said, "Okay, thank you." And so I went to our security division and I explained to them what we were facing, and they had already heard. But when you're on mission and when you're at war, it's not like you can say, "Hey, it's getting hot in here, I got to go home." No, we went to work and we did our jobs. A few days later, when I was walking through the desert with my partner, we were surrounded by 40 of these insurgents and they were armed with rocks and sticks. Fortunately, they did not have guns, but they collected a number of weapons that they then began to use on us. They began to attack my partner and I. And one cadet from that entire group who was at the back, he noticed it was me. And he put a stop to the attack. And he saved my life. He walked up to me when I was, you know, my head was spinning. I was hit. I was fighting for my life. You know, I thought it was going to be the last time I was going to get to see my daughters. And I wasn't going to go out without a fight. I was going to fight until the very end. And when the attack stopped, I focused and I looked at who had stopped this. And it was this one young cadet. And I recognized him. He was in my class about 4 or 5 weeks earlier. And he took a liking to me. Didn't know he was a terrorist. But he saved my life because of the way that I had treated him with dignity and respect. Now, to answer your question, how did this event end up being so profound in my life? It taught me so much about how we treat one another. Is that we only, if only we do not, you know, label people. You're always bad. You're always this. You're always that. If we treat people with dignity and respect, and we're likely to get that same kind of treatment in return. And for me, I'm here because a terrorist saved my life. I think that's pretty profound.
Absolutely. What does living a courageous life mean to you?
Living a courageous life is living the life that you want to live. It is living without the fear that something or someone will prevent you from reaching where you want to be. Without courage, so many things are unreachable. Some of the most beautiful things lie beyond our fears. And when we step into the different levels of our courage, that physical courage, that moral courage, that spiritual courage, that social courage, that intellectual courage. When we step in and say, for example, on the intellectual courage aspect, had I said that all terrorists were bad, I would not have challenged my beliefs, because not everybody who chooses to be something is always bad. So we need to step into those levels of courage, because the greatest things lie beyond our fears. And boy, taking risks and going out for what you want improves the quality of your life so exponentially. It's just amazing what you can accomplish. You know, being courageous, going to a person and saying, hey, you know what? I really like you. You want to go out on a date? Or I would really like this job and I'm qualified for it. How can I get it? You know, if we fall hostage to our fears, then the great things are not within our reach, because we'll prevent ourselves from getting there. So living a courageous life is stepping in to your courage to go for the things that you want and to believe that you are just as worthy as anyone else in this world to receive them. Believe in yourself and take the action to make the things that you want in your life a reality.
What would you do on your last day?
What would I do on my last day of life? If I knew that I was going to go, I'd have a party. I'd celebrate the many things that, the many gifts that I had. I would invite as many of my family, my close friends, to come and celebrate with me. I would go out with a bang, you know, because it's so true. So you know what? On my deathbed, I do not want to be visited by the ghost of missed opportunities to come and say, you know, Paul, we sent this whisper to you that you could have asked this wonderful person out, or you could have written that book. You never did. Let me show you what that would have been like had you. I do not want to be visited by those ghosts of missed opportunities. I want to be visited by the ghost of rock and roll, who say, dude, what a ride that was. You went, you did so much, you accomplished so much. And listen, I have accomplished so much in my life. Is it because I'm better than anybody else? No, it's because I try and I go for what I want. I write that book, even though I don't know how to write a book. I write a book that becomes a bestseller. Had I not tried, had I not, you know, stood up and said, you know what, I'm going to give this a shot. You know, had I not gone and asked for the job as a police officer, a hostage negotiator, done all those things, I have nothing. But I stepped in and I said, why not? Why not me? So for any one of your listeners out there who may be struggling with things and they're thinking, well, I can't possibly do that, you're becoming a hostage to those narratives that are not serving you. Why not you is what you should replace that narrative with. Why not you? What must you do right now to be that author or to be that wonderful prize that somebody will want to date? What is it that you must do to get you to where you are, to where you want to be? And then not only that, come up with that plan, but also step into that, take the action that's necessary, and go for it. Because if you don't, you'll never get to where you want to be. Lao Tzu, wonderful philosopher from many, many years ago, said, the journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step. But here's what J. Paul Nadeau adds to that. The idea is that you not only take the first step, you take whatever amount of steps you need to take to make that journey a reality and to get to the finish line. And the only one preventing you from doing it is you, nobody else.
Absolutely. And I realize you're not finished yet. What's your legacy?
My legacy, I want to leave this world a better place than I came into it. I want to have people remember my words, remember my philosophies in life, and apply it to their own so that they can improve the quality of their lives as I have mine. Like I said, I was this abused kid who never believed in himself, who was conditioned to fail because of the lies that people had told me. And I changed. I made that pivot in my life. And then I went on to say, how can I now help people get through what I went through and to live the life that they deserve to live? What can I do to improve this world? So when I leave this world, I want people to have those books, which are already out there. They're in libraries, they're in bookstores, they're in people's hands, and it's saving lives. I'm getting emails from people saying, your book saved my life. I want more of that. I am happy and so blessed. So many people are finding the peace and help and comfort and encouragement in what I write or applying it to their lives because I received those emails. I was about to kill myself and I'm not now. I was so depressed, I'm not now. I love that. But there's so much more for me to do. Linda, there's so much more for me to do. My legacy is to leave this life a better place than I came into it.
And if you had 5 minutes to have a conversation with someone living or dead, who would that be?
I'd want to have a conversation with God. And we all have to find what this existence is because we didn't come into this world, I believe, by accident. There is a design, whatever God may be to you. But I'd love to have a conversation with the Creator to see or to understand even more about this wonderful creation, these wonderful human beings we are. You know, we are people who are examining God and we're asking who God is. I think that God, whoever God is to you, is also looking at us and asking who we are. Where are you? Why are you doing the things that you're doing? As much as we are examining God, God is examining us. Are you doing your very best to be the very best creation in this world? And you may not believe in the God or whatever that may be to you. It may be energy, maybe whatever, but I think that there's something greater than us. I'd like to have that conversation with this energy that it's greater than us.
Is there anything else you'd like to share before we wrap up?
You know, you could keep me talking for hours, Linda. That's a loaded question. You're asking me a motivational speaker if there's anything else that I would like to add to the conversation.
How much time do you have?
Well, actually, you're going to be saved by the bell. But here, I want to remind everybody that no matter what your circumstances are right now, no matter what you're going through right now, imagine that somebody's already been where you are right now. And they got better. If you're suffering from cancer, for example, somebody who's already suffered from cancer, they got better. Somebody's suffering from depression. There's already somebody out there who suffered from depression, and they got better. No matter what your circumstances are, there are answers. And start surrounding yourself with people who can provide those answers and keep moving forward. Don't let the thoughts, those negative narratives, from those lies that people have put in your brain, don't let them control the outcome of your life. Remember, this is your life, and it's yours to make of it what you want. And that is a choice. And I love this six-letter word, choice. We get to choose how we respond to the things that happen to us in life. We get to get back up after we've been knocked down and say, is that all you got? Because I'm better than this. I'm greater than this. And when things challenge you, remember that you've got all this amazing strength within you to challenge it and to step beyond it. There are three time zones. I love to use this and I'll end with this because I don't want to keep you too much. We have the past, the present, and the future. Let me talk about the past for just a moment. What happened 5 minutes ago, 5 years ago, 20 years ago, 50 years ago, I cannot go back and change. Those things have happened. They're in the past. Why I would choose to pack my bags and go into the past, to the Poor Me Hotel, and sit there and go to the Why Me Lounge, where they're giving half price or even quarter price drinks and say, why did that happen to me? Why does it always happen to me? This always happens to me. It doesn't happen to anybody else, just me. I'm in the Poor Me Hotel. I do not want to check into the Poor Me Hotel. Whatever I focus on in the past is going to stay in my mind. It's going to prevent me from living where I need to be, not the future. So number one, leave the past behind. You go back, take a look at it. Take a look at it with a fresh, you know, set of eyes, a new, you know, new pair of glasses, and say, what was it about that that actually happened for me? Did I become a better person, a stronger person? Was I able to go on and help people heal because I went through that? So look at the things that happened for you. Now, the future. Write the best script you possibly can because you are the author of your own life. You get to write the next chapter. Make yourself the hero. Remember, it takes a villain to create a hero. My father was the villain. He created a hero in me. And I went on to write a wonderful hero script. You can too. You can look and you can say, this is where I want to go. You can make all the plans you want in the world and do that. Remember that not all plans are going to work out because COVID-19 taught us that, hey, that wonderful trip you were going to take, it's not going to happen. It's okay. Do plan. But don't focus on those plans. Create them. Believe in them. Enjoy them. Write the best chapter for yourself. But here's where I want you to take your focus. Into this very moment. The present. The present is called a present because it is a gift. This is the most important moment of my life. I get to choose. I get to spend it with Linda on her wonderful podcast. This is the most incredible moment of my life. I'll tell you why. We get to exchange ideas. We get to share and connect. We get to say yes and just experience one another. So your moments are your most important moments. Don't live in the past. Don't live in the future. Make the best of this very moment of your life because you get to choose happiness. You get to choose joy. You get to choose love and whatever you want. Make your moments memorable and remember their gifts. That would be what I want to say.
Beautiful. I perceived that one of the hardest things in your 30 years in the police force, you referenced it at one point about going to court and listening to defense lawyers saying that, oh, this poor young kid, he's had a really hard life. We need to give him a break. And that was something that really disturbed you. Can you just talk a little bit more about that, if you know what I'm referencing?
Oh, are you kidding me? Thank you for bringing that back up. I had forgotten I'd actually written that in my book, but I remember that. Yes, I remember being with my good friend, Greg O'Driscoll. And Greg O'Driscoll was the Crown prosecutor. And we had a really wonderful relationship, both, you know, at work and off work. And he had gone through a very severe childhood himself, having been abused just as I had. And when we would sit there, I would arrest the bad guys. He would prosecute them. So we were in court, and then all of a sudden, the defense attorney would come up and, Your Honor, it's my client, John Q. Citizen, was abused as a child, and this is what, you know, he went through, and this is why he's done the things that he's done. And I believe that we should give him a little bit of a break because he lived through such a hard childhood. And we used to sit there and go, really, you want to remain in that state of victimhood and blame your behavior on the way that you were treated? That is such a cop-out. That is, you know, that is not taking responsibility or accountability for what you did. You chose to behave in that negative way. And that's on you, pal. That's on you. We can remain in a state of victimhood and blame him or her or them for the things that we're doing or for how we're not feeling. We're not feeling good. I'm going to blame you. It's your fault. It's your fault I'm feeling this way because you said that thing to me. Or it's your fault that I assaulted you because, you know, or it's my parents' fault or it's my abuser's fault that I'm doing this. It's such a cop-out. That is such a cop-out. And to remain in a state of victimhood is a choice. And it's a sad choice because you don't get to experience the joy that stepping out of victimhood brings. And so, yeah, it really upset me when a defense attorney would use a person's past as an excuse for what they did in the present. The past does not define your present. You defined your present. You are not a product of your past. You're a product of your choices, your present choices. And if you go and you blame him or her for where you are right now, you're doing yourself a disservice. You've got to step into the fact that, hey, that happened to me. It happened for me. I'm not going to use it as an excuse for where I am today. Where I am today is where I choose to be. If I'm not where I want to be, how do I get? Remember I said, examine your life. The importance of examining your life, where you are, what's working and what's not. And being brutally honest with yourself to say, okay, this relationship didn't work out. For example, my marriage didn't work out. And I look back at it and say, well, I was a good husband. You know, I was a good husband. Why didn't it work out? When I look back at it, I hadn't set a high enough standard for myself. We're told, be a good student, be a good worker. Why are we not told to be extraordinary? To be, you know, so outstanding in whatever it is. I'm not just a good person. I'm an extraordinary person. I'm an outstanding person because I've risen, you know, that standard. I've taken that standard and put it higher than where I am. So if you're working and you're just a good employee, you're doing yourself and your boss a disservice. Become the extraordinary employee, the outstanding employee. If you're whatever it is, if you're in a relationship, you're a good boyfriend, good girlfriend, what would it take for you to become extraordinary? Outstanding. And how would that change your life? The energy that you bring into anything is the energy that you're going to get in return. So bring your best. Don't blame him or her for the chances that you missed or whatever it is, because that's on you. That's on you. And you're greater than this. You're greater than this.
Thank you very much for this. I really appreciate your words and perspective. I will think about this for some time after we've spoken. So thank you.
Thank you, Linda. And you know, to everyone who has listened to this amazing podcast by this wonderful person, remember that life is a series of choices. And it's the choices that you make that will define the quality of your life. And if you want an outstanding life, make outstanding choices and work at making them happen. And guess what? You'll live the life you deserve to live.
I forgot to mention that Paul also has a wonderful podcast called Inspire Us with J. Paul Nadeau. It is available on all the usual podcast platforms. And I will provide links to his website and all his social media in the show notes. Thank you once again for being here. I am taking a brief break for a few weeks as I get ready for season 5, as well as some surprises, including a live interactive version of a few of my upcoming interviews on Fireside Chat. I look forward to sharing some details soon. In the meantime, did you have a favorite episode or guest from this past season? Please shoot me an email via the website, thearena-podcast.com. I'd love to hear from you. Until next time, my name is Linda McLaughlin in The Arena.